All right. How many brought your Bibles with you to church this morning? How many haven't looked at your Bible since last Sunday? Ooh. I didn't have that in my notes. Can a leopard change its spots? No. Hebrews. Let's turn to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 4. When I titled this, I thought, oh boy, that just, I looked and looked at that. I thought, I know what I mean. Today is decision day for tomorrow's results. But I thought, that doesn't sound too spiritual. But today is decision day. Hebrews 4, verse 7 and 8. Again, he designates a certain day, saying in David, today. After such a long time, as it has been said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your heart. When I was reading through Hebrews here, several times in these passages, I kept seeing the word today, today, and it kept resonating in my head. And I thought, you know, so many times we are procrastinators, aren't we? As human beings, it seems like we procrastinate and we think, well, you know, we think of tomorrow and we think of this coming week and we think of next month. And so sometimes we get so caught up in what's going to happen tomorrow, we don't think about today. And Jesus talked about a lot about today. In Hebrews, we're finding the author saying today, today, if we have decisions, we need to make them today, because today's decisions is going to meet tomorrow's results. Today. And you know, no matter what we do, today is the first day of the rest of our life. Today. And you know, like if we're going to be thinking about the Lord and praying for someone or doing anything, I think sometimes we just have a tendency to say, I'll get it tomorrow. We'll get it tomorrow. I'll get it this Wednesday. And you know, we all think about things that are coming up, but God is concerned in our spiritual life, in our spiritual man. He's concerned about what is happening in our hearts. The Bible today, the Bible says the outward man perishes, but the inward man is renewed. How? Day by day. Day by day. That's scriptural. It's day by day. Let's read another verse here to lay the foundation in Hebrews 3. Right close by, verse 12 through 15 reads, beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil thought or heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, each day, while it is today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. You know, you keep hearing this, oh, wow. He says, the first verses we read, it talks about the hardness of our heart, and we read again. So, you know, there can be a tendency today to have our heart hardened to where we're not really open to the Lord. We just think we are. We just say we are. We just like, well, God, I will continue this at a future date. Oh, my goodness. How many's ever been in a close accident? How many's ever had something happen and you think, wow, I'm not sure, but I think I almost went home. I've had several close calls in life. And I'm glad that I'm be able to stand before you today and talk to you. And I'm glad you're able to sit there and look at me, because we've all had some pretty close calls. But we're not guaranteed. You know, we hear those words, but really we're not. We're not guaranteed a tomorrow. I have a man I worked with for years up in Bradford, PA. He was only like 1 or 2 years older than me. We worked together. I was an instructor with him. And he decided to retire at 60 years old. He retired at 60 years old. 1 year later, he was in Hammett Hospital, and he passed away. Oh, my goodness. Passed away. I mean, gone. Dead. 61 years old. We have no guarantee. So I believe that we need to take advantage of every single moment of, and that's how we bring our life into focus with God. Put on the mind of Christ. Put on this mind now. I'll get it tomorrow. It's, you know what? Tomorrow's going to come and you're going to say, I'll get it tomorrow. Wednesday's going to come and you'll say, oh, I'll get it Thursday. I'll see you next month. There are some people that never realize that, you know, they miss God. They miss God. Some people aren't here this morning. It probably could be. They're missing God. They're missing. They're missing out. But I'm glad for you that are here. Thank you for being here. I have in my notes, and I've never said this in this church before, but it just happens. It just came to my mind, and I just couldn't help but bring it up to emphasize how important today is. Years ago, many years ago, back when I was a young man, I worked in a wood mill. And there was a man in there that I worked with. I stayed at that mill for 8 years. I worked there for 8 years. In fact, a couple of my friends and Brother Frazier knows Carl Marvin. But he was a good man. He had a family. But the mill ended up closing down. We all moved on with our lives. And, you know, he went on to find another job. And he was good at making fireworks. And he was good at making, you know, all these big July 4th, you know, great explosions and great things to see. He was good at it, and he enjoyed it. But one day, and I don't know the details of this, all I know is something happened, and there was a spark in the building that he was in making these fireworks, and there's a lot of gunpowder that's involved in making these kind of things, and poof, the building went up. This man got desperately burned, was really burned. Really bad. He ended up in a life flight. He and another young man ended up in a life flight and taken to Hammett Hospital in Erie, Pennsylvania. And he was still conscious, but by the next morning, he was gone. Gone to meet the Lord. And you know, I'll tell you, we all can think of things. We all should know that today is the day of salvation. Today is the day that we enlarge ourselves. Today is the day we listen to the word of God. Today is the day we fatten our souls, because tomorrow we don't know what we're going to face. You know, a week ago, Florida knew that a hurricane was coming. Georgia knew a hurricane was coming. But it's hard to envision. My heart goes out to them. In a way, part of me is a little bit heavy this morning, because we all have friends. We all have family. I have, Gene and I, we both know quite a few people in Florida. We have some good friends, and even I have a niece there, and we have people there that, you know, your heart goes out to them, and all you can do is stand and pray, because we're helpless. And so sometimes, you know, our days, we don't know what's going to happen. Do you know what's going to happen tomorrow? I don't know. But I want to encourage you that no matter what happens, stay in God. No matter what happens, stay where you are. No matter what happens, hold the line. Hold. Because without him, where could I go? I don't know. I don't have an answer, because I don't believe that drugs is the answer. We're seeing all kinds of deaths from that. We see it on the front pages of the newspaper. We're seeing things. So we need to just stay in him no matter what it looks like. Stay the course. Stay the course. I want to read you a little story, and I can't do any better than reading this story, but I want to encourage you with this, that we're kind of in the middle of the game. We're in the middle of life. Well, some of us are. Some of us are heading. I mean, no. But, you know, we're in the middle. Sometimes we feel like, even in our church, we feel like we're in the middle. What's God have? I don't know, but I know one thing. No matter what happens, no matter who's here, no matter who's behind this pulpit, I know the word of God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And it'll encourage us, and our spiritual man can be strong. I'm encouraged today, not because of what I see, but because of what I know. Huh? Several years ago, there was a Rose Bowl game, and a boy by the name of Roy Rubbles recovered a fumble, and he ran toward the wrong goal. As a matter of fact, Roy Rubbles took that football and he ran through the goalpost of the other team. It was at the end of the first half of the ball game that he realized what a terrible mistake he had done. He said, I went to the locker room humiliated. And I went down to one end of the dressing room and I sat down and bowed my head. And the rest of the team came in and nobody looked at me. He said, nobody spoke to me, but because of what I had done, he said, I hit the floor and I swore I'll never touch another football as long as I live. And he went on to say that soon the coach came in and began to give the team instructions for the second half of the important Rose Bowl game. And about 2 minutes before it was time for the team to go back on the field, with his head still bowed, he heard the voice of his coach calling him. You know, I'm moved by the story, but I'm moved by thinking that this is us. This is us. Sometimes we make such big, bad mistakes. We make wrong turns, and God continually reaches out to us and pulls us back. And he heard his voices, the coach voice say, with a stern voice, he said to Roy, get up off the floor and come here. And he went over to the coach. Not knowing what to expect, his head was still bowed in shame. And he heard his coach say something very surprising to him. The coach said to Roy, the game is only half over. And I have noticed as I've watched this game that the team is stronger on the left side. And I want you to go out there and play the left side. That's their stronger side. And I want you to play the game like you know how to play. For the game is only half over. I sat with a man, I'm almost done with this story here, but I sat with a man this past week for 2 hours in a hospital. And I'm not crazy about going there, but you know, I sat with him for 2 hours and let him talk, and you know, he's not where he should be with the Lord. And you know, it's not going to happen if you and I aren't there. Because, you know, some people, they think the game's over. I'm not convinced that it is. People think, well, I've done too many things bad, I've done too wrong, or I don't know if I can stand under the storm. Yeah, Brother Dennis spoke about the storms. Yeah, there is a lot of storms. Maybe now physical, more even oftentimes spiritual. But it's not over. Hang on. Grab onto the Word of God. Grab onto what you know is true. Grab onto that what you know is strong. If you want to be strong, hang with strong people. That doesn't mean you don't go to weaker people. But you stick with those that love God. And you know, because I have a tendency to feel like sometimes we become who we're around. I threw that in for good measure. That's not in my notes. And the second half, almost done in the second half of the game, began. And soon the team came up off the field. The announcer, with great surprise in his voice, said, Roy Rubbles is back in the game. And pretty soon he was yelling at the top of his lungs, Roy Rubbles is carrying the ball. He is making the best broken field run we've ever seen. Woo! Hallelujah. I'm telling you what. You can do it. Because of today, not because of the decisions you're going to make tomorrow, not because of what's going to happen tomorrow, good or bad, but because today you've made up your mind, I'm going to serve the Lord. Today I'm not going to harden my heart. I'm going to soften it. I'm going to open up to God, and whatever the results are, they are. But God is going to be first, and he's going to have his way in my life. He's going to work in my life. He's going to be my all in all. Solomon said, King Solomon, who was a very intelligent, very smart person because of the gift that God gave him, said, he is altogether lovely. He's my A to Z. He is mine. And I take that. I accept that. I receive that. So God has plans for your life. He has plans for your life, but it's going to take us realizing today is the day we say, Lord, in my heart, in my mind, I accept your plans. We're going to just read one more scripture here, and I've asked someone to read Psalm 71:15. Go ahead, brother. Wow, I'm going to do that all day long. What? Yeah, I'm going to do that all day long. That's impossible. Wow. You know, there's a lot of things you can buy in life, but you can't buy everything. There's a lot of things that you can purchase in life, but you cannot buy everything. Some people say that everything has a price on it. Well, I don't believe it does, because you can buy education, you can go to college, you can buy books and you can have knowledge, you can purchase a lot of things and you can gain a lot of things, you can even buy information, you can even go on the internet and you can find out wonderful things, and this is all stuff that we have access to. And there's nothing wrong with knowledge. There's nothing wrong with understanding. There's nothing wrong with information. But some things cannot be bought. Of course, our salvation can't be bought. But I have a couple thoughts. And I didn't hear this from anyone. This is coming from me. But I believe that you cannot buy experience. Oh, I'd like to talk briefly about two things. One, you cannot buy experience. If you have an experience with God, if you have an experience, don't let anyone talk you out of it. But experience in a certain degree comes from many years of doing something. And you know, pretty soon you can begin to mentor. But it comes from experience. You cannot buy experience. It takes time. And we have a couple of successful pastors here, and let me ask you this question. Did it just take a few steps to be where you are? Did it just take a few decisions to be where you are? Or did it take hundreds? It takes hundreds of steps. It takes hundreds of days. It takes hundreds of decisions in whatever you do. And it takes proficiency, comes with time. Progress. My son-in-law, and I say that not because I play the guitar, because I love to play. I love to play anything. I wish I could play more than I play, but I play everything I can. I'm not really good at playing the radio, but I do play everything I can. Oh my goodness! I lost my thought. Where was I going? Thank you. Thank you so much. My son-in-law said to me one day, he says, you know why you play the way you play? I said, what do you mean? He said, you don't have to think about the mechanics of music anymore because you've got everything in your head. He said, so you can play from your heart. And you know, it's a good illustration. And I don't say that because I play, but I love to play. But you know, I thought a lot about that since then. You know, it's like whatever you do, get to the place where you can do it from your heart. Get to that place where you've put the time and the energy and the things in so you can do it from your heart. And you know, those results that come tomorrow is because of decisions you make today. You can't buy experience. You can't buy time. You know, there are some people that I lived up north for many years, and I'm glad to live 6 degrees warmer down south. I'm glad to live a little more down south. But, you know, if I was to go up north and I haven't been there in a long time, you know, people would recognize me because of facial recognition. But they don't really know me because I'm not the same man I used to be. I'm not the same one. I'm not the same person. Outside, I look the same. But see, inside, I have matured. And that's the second point. You cannot buy maturity. Maturity comes in time. Maturity comes with the Lord. Maturity comes with staying in the Word of God. Maturity comes. If you want to be mature, it doesn't come tomorrow. It doesn't even come next month. Maturity comes and experience comes from time and time and time again, being consistent and saying, Lord, whatever comes or goes, you are the boss. In 2005, I thought I was going to lose it. I thought I was going to lose it. You know, my world was turned upside down. But I've realized since then, He is the master. He makes the decisions in our life if we allow Him to. Today's is the day to make decisions that'll bring tomorrow's results. It says if you don't harden your voice, we can understand this. If you don't harden your heart, you can understand this, because He said He will take our hard heart and He will make us soft. God is continually working with us. I'm not one that believes sanctification is instantaneous. Sanctification comes time after time, being in the Word of God and letting it move and grow us. And in Malachi, it says we can become fat and flourishing as the calves of the stall, fat and flourishing. And that's talking about our spiritual man. I don't know how big my spiritual man is, but man, I hope he's big and fat. I hope he's really big. That's what I want. I want my spiritual man to be really big, like 545 pounds. But that only comes. You get the point. I'm going to finish up this morning with a thought called courage to act. You know, because sometimes we get complacent, sometimes we get, we procrastinate, and sometimes we just, you know, think, oh, tomorrow it'll be, you know, I'll get to it tomorrow. But we have to take the courage to act. You know, when there's things going on in life, you got first responders, you got the military, you've got firefighters, you got police officers, you have EMTs, you know, you have people that are first to respond. And I think we live in a world that, you know, we all love being together because we all think, you know, and believe the Word of God, most of us. So that's really awesome. But, you know, when you get out in the real world, there's a lot of people that are indifferent to God. They're indifferent to the Word of God. And some people are even hostile to the God's Word. Some people do not want to hear anything about the gospel. But continue to be courageous. Continue to be strong. Continue. So in all that I've said, I really want to encourage you to become strong day by day. And what's the day that it begins with? We can't change the past. We can't change history. I can't do anything about yesterday. I can't do anything about last year. I can't do anything about 10 years ago or 20 years ago. But I can affect today, and I can make my tomorrow better in Him. In Jesus' name, we claim it. We believe it. Hallelujah.